You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
The Around the NFL podcast is an iTunes juggernaut.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hanzus, and I am joined by a room loaded up with heroes.
Yeah.
Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Oh.
You can even tell by the tone of your voice that we're taping this early in the morning. It's kind of like an NPR Dan Hanzus.
You've got your morning glasses on. I mean, it truly
looks like you.
Got my coffee mug.
It looks like Father's Day morning with you. You might as well come in with one of those robes that you talk about. You love your bathrobes, right?
I did join the group of humans that wear bathrobes. I think it's a big step in anyone's life if they're going to take it, just a few months ago. And yeah, it's a life change.
A step in which direction?
You're close, like, to the grave, but a comfortable step.
You're like a 1950s sitcom father.
It's domesticated, but I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, and it's you don't wear it every day, certainly. There's only certain times it's going to really come in handy, but when it does, you're feeling
I'm great. Fighting that with every fiber in my being. There will be no bathrobes in my household.
Are you?
I mean, it's the same logic of why you put on gym shorts when you get home. You just, like, do the most comfortable thing possible. Who cares what it looks like?
I don't know if I want the answer to this question, but is there anything under this robe when you're walking around the house?
Depends. Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Oh, surprise. A grab bag. Not for us. Not for us.
This is the Around the NFL podcast, driven, of course, by Hyundai. And this is the show that Chris Wessling circles on his calendar every year. In fact, this is a day in the life for Chris Wessling. Every New Year's Eve, he goes out to the local Rite Aid or maybe a Hallmark store, and he picks up a new calendar. Usually, for whatever reason, it's a horse-themed calendar.
Sure.
He loves all different kinds of horses. And he immediately flips the page to late April, right around April 20th, and circles what he believes will be the schedule release day, because Wes loves our 2017 schedule release podcast.
It's my own fault. Every year I forget to plan my vacation on this day.
I would have thought.
It's the week before the draft usually. You never know exactly what day it is, but it's exciting. I mean, we already know every single opponent home and away, but we don't know the order of it, Wes.
And that's why it's the schedule release spectacular.
So we haven't told Wes this, but we decided to do something different. We're actually going to go through each week, each game in order.
Love it.
Because if people, in case they don't have access to the internet, they're just using this podcast to find out the schedule.
They can take notes at home.
Exactly.
We'll go in.
We'll have them covered.
And no other show will be doing this.
And by we, that's the second surprise. Mark, Greg, and myself are going to head over to the Cozy for a little early morning drinking, and you're going to do the show yourself.
You're going to need a new leadoff hitter for tonight, because I won't be finished in time for the game.
Anyway, so yes, despite Wes's reservations about this annual show,
reservation.
There are people out there, and maybe you listening right now, that you're very excited about the release of the 2017 schedule, which dropped at 5 p.m. Pacific time. Is it sometime this afternoon?
You're right.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Got it.
And this is the first year in a long time where I didn't, race to find the Jets, because, again, what's going on with me as a Jets fan. I'm kind of pumped about 3-13, so there's no excitement on the schedule, and I know they're not going to get a ton of primetime games. But if you are a fan of a team that's relevant, this is your first chance
this matters to
look at
day.
The schedule. If you're a fan that likes to travel, and travel with the team on for road games. You get to start figuring out some game plans, and we get to start digging in on we're one step closer to football.
Right,
that's the sell.
If you have, well, it's fun to know the first weekend of games, like what are the big games going to be that week, and you start kind of getting ready for that. Like if you're a family that plans an annual party around the Thursday night Jaguars-Titans game every year, you can start getting ready.
Or maybe you can't
this year. Yeah. That's what's called a tease.
All of this makes sense. I am on board with it. Look, you want to race to the schedule and find out your road trips, plan all that, put a W and L next to every team on your schedule. I get all of that. Just don't ask me to analyze it 5 months. There's no analysis necessary. Just enjoy the schedule being released.
All right.
I agree with that philosophy largely.
You know, let's talk about it, guys. Let's start talking about the schedule. Because we also have a special guest, I should say, at the end of the show. Our eye is still now on the draft. And we have a special a draft expert. We had one yesterday. We're going to have another one at the end of the show. I'll leave it at that for now.
Being expert, we'll use that term loosely.
Hey, he's someone that watches college football.
True.
And some say has an eye. He's got a mouth on him, too.
Many would the latter part of your statement would be true by all.
So we'll get to that at the end of the show. But let's talk. How do we want to dig in? Do we want to start by discussing
game by game, week one, game one,
game? Well, we actually will do. Why don't we all do right. that? The first game,
alphabetical, Atlanta Falcons schedule, week one.
The first game of the 2017 NFL season. Of course, as you know, if you know how this all works, the defending Super Bowl champion plays week one at home. Unless the Baltimore Orioles do not want you to use their parking lot.
Right.
But if you are a defending champion, you do start at home. So we will be, again, at Gillette Stadium for the first game on Thursday night. And the sacrificial lamb this season, none other than the Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome to the Throne of Ease, picking up right away week one Thursday night. 31-14, and away we fly.
I mean, what? Who did you want? Who was coming to New England that would have been a tougher matchup? They're a good team. They're a playoff type of team. I'm not excited for this. I think we have Ron Rivera to blame for this.
Why?
Because Ron Rivera at the league meetings reportedly complained and said it really was unfair, he thought, for the Panthers to have to go to Denver last year and play a rematch of the Super Bowl in week one. And the committee really listened to that. He thought it was kind of hanging over them all, you know, off season. They wanted to start anew. It wasn't fair to do that right again. So they decided not to have the Falcons do it because of that.
Well, all right, that's fine. But I think if you're saying who would you want, a Super Bowl rematch would be the appropriate way to kick off the season. And in the Chiefs, nice team in the AFC. They've got an unbelievable amount of primetime games. There's a lot of stock being put in them this year, but if you're not going to go Super Bowl rematch, whatever else you come up with is second rate compared to that.
Well, I'll counter with, I never was a big fan of the Super Bowl rematch.
Yeah.
And I do think it's, you're taking one of the best teams or the best team in the NFC the prior season, and you're putting them in a really tough spot on the road where the other team's raising their banner. And I kind of like the idea of the new season being a totally fresh start that's not connected to the last season. So to me, that never felt like a tradition that I needed to always be around.
And I feel like we're coddling the Falcons or fill in the blank Super Bowl loser a little bit in that situation.
Soft.
You know what? So I'm soft. Just saying, give me a great game.
Is this a great game? Chiefs?
No,
Patriots,
that's why they didn't get it right.
That's the thing. I think that they
might be.
Feels a little tired.
What's a better option?
Well, I gave you one. I gave you mine, but it's not. Apparently, Ron Rivera doesn't agree.
You know, two teams I like that are on their home schedule, and they never think out of the box. They don't project because the Panthers and Chargers are both coming off bad seasons. But those are two exciting teams in my mind with exciting quarterbacks that I would be more intrigued by in week one. They probably didn't want to risk it with Cam Newton's injury,
right, I don't
perhaps.
They didn't want to see Derek Anderson versus Tom Brady.
Right.
What about the Steelers? I mean, I feel like we've seen that 1,000 times.
That's in Pittsburgh this year.
Well, but they could have. It had to be in Pittsburgh.
I've got no issue with this matchup, and I'm in favor of giving the Chiefs a loss to start the season.
I mean, you mentioned the primetime games for the Chiefs. We might as well mention that now. They have a maximum 6 games of primetime.
Who?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
More than the Patriots, more than anyone. The minute I went through this last night,
they'll probably get moved. They'll get moved into a flex. Perhaps they kind of leave an extra spot for the Cowboys and Patriots sometimes. But yeah, it's a little crazy. The Chiefs are in.
This is on my radar because I think they do this every year where they try to find one team that they project to be this hot team. And the Chiefs are the Chiefs. They're a nice team. But I don't need to see them six times in prime time.
I once watched a Monday night football game with Aaron Rodgers and Alex Smith, and Alex Smith spent the entire game throwing short of the sticks.
You're going to have a lot of Alex Smith, a lot of Tyreek Hill, a lot of Travis Kelce in your life. Not only six primetime games, but five in the first half of the season. So by the time you get to November, you're going to have seen the Chiefs five times in primetime. Part of it is just because the AFC West has a great schedule. They're playing the NFC East. They're playing each other. There's a lot of good teams. That's part
Greg's
of it.
Greg's excited, by the way, about the schedule release. Have you noticed?
Well, we need an anchor on that side of the spectrum. We've got one on the other side.
That's fair.
Who was the team that we kept seeing over and over again last year in the first 8 weeks?
Was it the Texans?
I think it was. There was a team that kept on popping up last year. But just so you know, the Chiefs have all these primetime at New England – week one, then they are at or home to Washington Monday night, week four. Then the next week, they are at Houston on Sunday night football. 2 weeks after that, they're at Oakland on Thursday night football. The following Monday night football, they are against the Denver Broncos. And then if you take it then, so that is all through the first 7 or 8 weeks. And then they play the Chargers on a Saturday night, on December 16th. That's pretty intense.
You know who you're thinking of, I think, Chris? It was the Bears. There's a lot of Bears.
Oh, yeah, there was.
And that was a major issue
Bears
for the league.
Bears and Texans.
And the thing was, here's the difference. The Chiefs, there's reason to make an argument for this kind of
individually, all those games make sense. Maybe the Texans one isn't too.
But the Bears last year made no sense. There are, if you look at the primetime schedule early on, I think there are a few games that don't make a whole lot of sense. We can get into that when we want.
And since we're on the topic of the Patriots, Greg, your thoughts on their schedule? At least we got KC, at New Orleans, home to Houston, home to Carolina, at Tampa, at Jets, home to Falcons. They do get the Falcons on October 22nd.
Sunday night football, that's cool.
Home to Chargers, bye, at Denver, and at, you know, that's a tough one. You're coming out of your bye, and you got at Denver, and then at Oakland in Mexico City.
Well, but I think that's an advantage, relatively, that they get to play Oakland in Mexico City. If I'm the Raiders, I hate that you're giving up a home game when you have your biggest game of the season. So if you're a Raiders fan, not only are you losing your team, you're losing your best game of the season. And if you're Jack Del Rio, you're annoyed because that's the game you want to win the most all season if they're in the mix and they have to play a neutral site.
But what an interesting team, because by November 19th, let's say that things don't go right for the Raiders. What's happening in the black hole? I mean, maybe there is not the same feeling of a home team as you would another year.
Derek Carr, if you're listening, Mark meant interesting in a very positive way.
Yes. What a great home field advantage the Oakland Raiders have playing at that facility.
Strong team, great
loyal fans that will surely follow them to
Las Vegas.
Can we get a little ding, Sydney, for whenever we do this?
We should have a
Here's a quirk.
Sort of
there you go.
Song or something.
Here's a quirk in the Patriots schedule that I just uncovered. You know what? I'm going to break this as the ATN Media Insider. Here's an exclusive from the ATN Media Insider. The Patriots have from October 30th to December 24th a single home game. That's interesting.
That is. That's you don't find that too often.
Yeah, they are one. I'm not sure the total number. I know the Eagles have a three-game road trip at one point, and the Patriots also have a three-game road trip in December. I believe the Eagles one is in December as well. So they will want to get to that portion of the schedule with some wins under their belt. And the last one is at Pittsburgh, which could be a very big game in Week 15.
That includes back-to-back trips to Denver and Mexico City. Talk about spanning the globe. You're far from Foxborough.
Wes, break down the altitude issues the Patriots could face in back-to-back weeks.
This might be the best story you've ever broken, Dan. I'm impressed. You are all over the Patriots schedule. I would not have noticed that they go nearly 2 months with just one home game.
Thank you, Wes.
The altitude is a factor.
It's weird because Football Outsiders, who does a great job, did a strength of schedule, you know, rankings. And I don't really buy into strength of schedule in general, certainly not just looking at wins and losses from last year, which we sometimes put up on the site. But they, you know, they factor a lot of things in. They had the Patriots as the easiest schedule in the entire league. You know, when I look at this,
but they don't
look that easy.
Well, they don't have this. They don't have the order. The order suddenly looks challenging.
Yeah, part of it is just they're in the AFC East, and I think the other three teams in the AFC East, they're not looking at as great teams.
Also, the Patriots have the easiest schedule in the league,
according to Football Outsiders. Yes.
Well, they don't have to play against the Patriots.
Right.
Why are we even here? By the way, I looked at the schedule. 14-2.
Yeah.
Maybe 12-4, somewhere in that range.
See, the Football Outsiders isn't ranking the NFC South as a tough division, which is who the Patriots play out of division. I think that's going to be a tough division to go against.
Are you – because you were really – you were on that hill with the White House visit yesterday. You were pounding the table that there was nothing wrong with the turnout, and then there was – the Patriots got all in a tiff and started –
What are we talking about? I'm almost embarrassed to contribute to this conversation. Shut up. Like, what is happening? Important things are happening in the world, and people are getting so fired up about these pictures. It, you know, including me yesterday. It's insane.
All right.
I mean,
don't you think?
We're touching some wires here. We're hitting the third rail with you on this, Greg, for whatever reason.
Third rail.
Yeah, you just get it. You're upset about the White House visit. A little more upset than I thought you would be.
I mean, Greg wishes there were fewer players.
I said there were fewer.
Just saying historically there are seasons where
I'm just saying if sometimes like we're in this climate where we want to make everything a huge point. And like the reality is there was 25 people there in 2005 and 34 and so who cares?
Why are we back on
like,
this story?
Like we pick up things we want to get outraged by that we never would have ever cared about ever before. That's what I mean.
Okay. That's good.
Throwing myself under the bus.
By the way,
should we talk the rest of week one primetime?
Yeah, let's do that. The rest of week one primetime schedule. And again, if you are just tuning in, this is the 2017 schedule release extravaganza.
For those of you suddenly clicking randomly 13 minutes into the show and not listening to the early part.
It's not the same model as, you know, the radio in that sense.
Well, and if you watch this streaming on NFL.com, and we'll have the link on our Twitter
site
later, you'll see Dan raising his hand, Dan bringing 50% extra, I'm bringing 50% extra to make up for the fact that Wes is bringing nothing to this show.
You know, that was a joke.
It was a joke that he doesn't like
the
show. You
know what? Wes didn't like that, though.
It was funny.
You're getting early morning Greg here.
It was funny.
You know.
All right, the rest of the primetime schedule, KC at Pats on Thursday night. Then Sunday night football. Mark, I know this is on your radar. The Giants at the Cowboys, the first Sunday night game, September 10th. Which you can usually count on almost always a Giants-Cowboys game on Sunday Night Football. They get it out of the way. It was actually, if I recall, 2 years ago.
It was.
It was the game where Romo and Witten had that big comeback where Eli mismanaged the clock and the Giants blew the game in Dallas. They're back in Dallas on Sunday Night Football for Al, Chris, and Michelle.
I can't kill it. I get why it's there. The Dallas Cowboys were one of my favorite teams to watch last year. I think that the new version of the Cowboys I can get behind. I will say one thing. I looked at the schedule from top to bottom. This looks just like last year's schedule to me mostly. It's the same exact teams doing the same things. Proceed.
I would say that this was a smart move by the NFL to put the Giants on Sunday Night Football in week one before Eli Manning gets pulled for Geno Smith.
And you know what?
Wes coming back strong.
He's back, baby. All right, moving on. Let's now look at Monday night. That's September 11th. Saints at Vikings. And then the double – Greg, you love the doubleheader.
I like the doubleheader. I think we should do – I would approve doing it in a different week.
Yeah.
I like
week one's so great that it's almost like by then you're almost not fully appreciating getting that doubleheader. Just throw a random doubleheader in week four.
Chargers at Broncos. That's a good late game, though.
Those are two fun Monday night games.
I feel like we're always stuck with the 49ers and Chris Berman, and we're going to have neither this year.
They got off that. Well, wait till we get to week two.
Those are good. Saints, Vikings.
You're gonna get your candy.
You're gonna get your candy. Why? What's happening?
You're gonna get what you want if you want the Niners on prime time. Somehow that happened. You'll see.
All right. Let's check out week two. You get now that I'm curious.
It's actually
week three.
Week three. The week two, by the way. And this is actually, you know what we should talk about now? Thursday Night Football, because I think this is a big year for Thursday Night Football. They really got on society's radar with all the bad games. So I'm curious if they took note of that and maybe put in, front-loaded the thing a little bit to help with buzz. Mark, you did a deep dive of the TNF sked. What do we got?
I think it's a challenging task because they probably have to put a lot of teams on that you're just never gonna get on SNF and Monday Night Football. After that Chiefs-Patriots matchup, you get, in week two, Texans at Bengals.
If you really enjoyed that 12-10 Tom Savage versus Andy Dalton slobber knocker,
worst games of the year. Then we get to our week three, we're getting Rams at 49ers.
Oh.
Okay?
That's surprising.
There are some interesting things happening with those teams. We'll see where they are.
But let's be real. Part of the reason is like the CBS television schedule. These are NFL Network only games, and we would love it if those were the best games of the year.
Right.
But the reality is when it's on CBS, they get the more primetime teams.
Yeah, and last year, for those of us who were complaining about the Bears early on, well, you get a helping of the Bears in week four. Bears at Packers. Packers.
They're doing it again. You got to at least send them to Soldier Field if you're going to do this type of game. Not that's how the schedule works. But they're falling down the same. They did not learn from last year. They should have.
That's why I'm saying that a lot of the same stuff that happened last year, I'm seeing the same algorithms all over again. I do think weeks five and week six are very interesting. You get the Patriots at the Bucks in week five.
Good.
That's interesting. It's a new team in prime time, a weird matchup. You don't
in
see
their
Bucks
building.
Patriots in Tampa Bay. I like that. Week six, Carson Wentz and the Eagles go to Carolina. A lot of players still healthy at that point in the year, hopefully. That's an interesting matchup.
Okay, and you know what? That is the Amazon game, the new partnership. CBS, it will be on CBS, NFL Network, and Amazon. So that's good. Week five and six, I'm
that's juicy.
Jazzed a little bit. And then where we go from there? Oh, look at that. I like week seven, too.
Yeah, week seven. I mean, I'm already a little exhausted with the Chiefs, but you get Chiefs at Raiders. That's a good matchup on paper. Week eight. Dolphins at Ravens. Mm. I liked the Dolphins last year. We'll see what happens to them this year. That's not terrible. Mm. Bills at Jets. That could be torture for you. Who knows what that
will
be for you, Dan.
Game.
There used to be a rule that every team ended up being on Thursday Night Football. That rule is no longer true. You notice the Browns literally do not have a primetime game this
year. The Browns and the Jaguars, scanning this, look like the two teams that don't.
Mm. Smart.
And well, I get why. I guess it is smart, and they have to earn it. I get all that. But for the fans of terrible teams, it is a treat once a year to watch a team in primetime. Not for Wes and other people, but it is for me. And you look at your schedule if you're a bad team up and down, and it is a long slate of 1 p.m. games. It is an unbelievably bland vanilla slate.
You know what they feel like they're checking the national box for the Browns is they have the London game in the 9:30 a.m. solo window, and that's their closest thing they get to a primetime game is we're going to be up at 6:30 in the morning watching that game, and they'll be the only team playing.
I get what they're doing.
You know, it's a better treat for the fans. Win some games, provide some entertainment.
Right.
Believe me, you're not in a silo with that commentary. I'd like to see them win some games too.
Right. I don't think you can blame the schedule makers when your GM is putting bad teams.
But now that the schedule's unfolding a little bit, I see on Thursday night what they're doing. They knock out two bad, boring teams
early.
They take, like, the Bills and Jets, two more boring teams, just have them square off. You lose that week, basically, but now you're ticking off more bad teams. So I think they have maybe
sell it, baby.
Here's the question.
They made some moves to try to address Thursday a little bit.
Here's the question. If you don't need to put teams in prime time, if you can take the Jags and the Browns away, why are the Bears on prime time?
I can't answer that for you.
So it's Chicago. A big market? Sure, I guess. But they're no better of a team.
That's why the Jets are playing on Thursday night also.
Here's what did happen last year, though. The schedule, it got killed early, and it did get better. And you can see some of that happening. Because when we get past that Bills-Jets game, week 10, Seahawks at Cardinals. If the Cardinals bounce back, that's good. Here's the one I think is fantastic, week 11. I like weird games. Titans at Steelers.
Yes.
That's interesting. And they must have enough faith in the Titans to put them against a proven opponent.
That should be a wild game.
Wes threw up both hands in the air.
Wes is all in on the Titans again. I love it.
Well, they played a great Monday night
game
a few years ago, actually. Remember that?
Dick LeBeau's return to Pittsburgh. Not that that's the reason you're tuning in necessarily.
Let's hope Roethlisberger is playing in this game. But yes, that's another good one. The schedule is better.
You're worried that he might retire by then.
either fake a retirement, or you know, have a heel injury that costs him three games.
Goes from there. We'll get to the end of this. Giants at Redskins, Week 12. Solid. Redskins again at, well, I don't know, Sunday night, the late game, is that TNF, the late game on Thanksgiving, or is that SNF?
That's
NBC.
That's different.
Okay, so let's ignore that.
We'll do Thanksgiving next.
Week 14, Saints at Falcons. That's a Greg favorite, and that actually could be interesting.
Always
the
delivers.
Saints haven't totally effed up at that point.
There'll be a shootout.
Broncos at Colts, Week 15, and then Week 16, this is a Saturday game, which did they spin that as TNF? I was trying to look at this thing. Well, then forget that one.
Actually, no, they do.
Yeah, like Saturday.
I thought one of those got TNF.
It's Thursday Night Football on Saturday.
Right, so I think that one is Vikings at Green Bay, which has had ramifications.
That's the NBC game. The Colts and Ravens is the NFL Network.
Colts at Ravens. So I did a pristine job giving you more information, games that are not even Thursday Night games. So
it's a better Thursday Night schedule. It starts off a little soft, and that's where maybe I think they've made a mistake, because it's going to put them in danger of getting that scrutiny. But then it looks like the schedule, and you don't know how these teams will actually turn out to be. That's what we're not going to analyze. That's what's on Wes's radar. But on paper right now, they look like good matchups for the back half of the season.
I agree. And while we're down here, should we talk this Christmas schedule? Because,
well, let's do holidays. Let's hit Thanksgiving, right, and then we'll get to Christmas. Start with Thanksgiving. Vikings at Detroit, the customary game in Detroit. That's all right. It's fine.
I'll be covering that before tearing into a
massive some potential. Beer haze. There's some potential for both of those teams to be mediocre and that not be spicy. You know, Vikings are hardly a guarantee that they're going to bring the juice there.
Right, I'm with you on that. And then they have the LA Chargers traveling to Jarrow World to face the Cowboys. That's the middle game on CBS.
Oh, those frisky Chargers!
You know, the Chargers.
That should be fun.
And then this is true for most of the AFC West. Their schedule. They're going to be on TV a lot. Their schedule is very intriguing. I think it's because they play the NFC East, essentially, and just that division is intriguing. They're all over the place.
And then if you're like me and you grew up loving the NFC East, you always love to see the Giants and the Skins at Washington at FedEx Field. So that is the Thursday night, Thanksgiving night game, which I don't remember the Giants ever playing on Thanksgiving night.
No. It's very new.
Yeah, so that is –
that's one that got leaked out on Twitter, by the way. You know, we're early in the day. You start to see leaks.
Yeah.
That one's already out there being whispered about.
A lot of Giants. No surprise. We get them in prime time the first two weeks. Ugh. Let's do a little Christmas.
All right. Go ahead, Greg. Talk a little Christmas, baby.
Well, you noticed, Mark, that the schedule is very similar this year, because we're going to be – it's a football Sunday on Christmas Eve. Technically, last year it was Saturday, but we basically just pretended it was a football Sunday on Christmas Eve. So it's a really interesting schedule this year. The thing that's a little different, you get double Saturday night games that week. So you have a Colts, Ravens, and Vikings, Packers. Our families are going to love us. Then you get a full football Sunday with no night game on Christmas Eve, and then you get a double header on Christmas again.
Very unrewarding if you are the son or daughter of an NFL reporter. Is daddy ever coming back?
That's rough. We just did this. I mean, did we get banged by a leap year or something? What happened?
Again, no, I'm telling you, this is last year's schedule.
It makes
just
sense.
Reprinted. It really is.
It makes sense because the calendar only moves one day over. Last year, we just kind of pretended football Sunday was on Saturday. Now it actually is on Sunday.
I feel like
Sunday.
You secretly love this dynamic a little bit.
I'm just saying it happens. It's going to happen every 5 years, basically. We'll get We're going to get a five-year break, and then it happens two years in a row.
I like this idea of the Steelers becoming Christmas's team like the Lions are Thanksgiving's team. Didn't they deliver with that Ravens game last year?
That was an excellent game.
That was, I think, the game of the year, and it was the highest-rated game in NFL Network history, and I thought maybe people weren't watching it because it was on Christmas, that it got buried a little bit, but people had it on.
By that time in the day, you've opened your gifts, you've eaten a ton of food, you're ready to watch some
chill
football.
I think the Raiders had one of the, and we'll get into.
Did we say the games?
Oh, that's right.
Steelers at Texans.
This one's on Amazon. Pull out your phone while you're with your family.
That's Steelers Texans. That's early.
And then the late game on Christmas is Oakland at Philly.
That's a great game.
So that is a nice game, too.
Breakout.
Big Ben versus Patrick Mahomes.
I like the NFL, and you know the NFL little Patrick Mahomes.
Break out your Santa Philadelphia jokes there for Christmas night. And
the NBA hates
tired jokes. I'm sorry.
They were tired in 1988, and they are even more so now.
I think the Raiders got banged with a bad schedule about as much as any team in the NFL, and that going to Philly on Christmas night is yet another reason why. You got
What are the other reasons? The Mexico trip.
The Mexico trip is a huge one. You finish with two road games, including having to play Week 17 at the Chargers on a short week. That's annoying to me. I think having a road game Christmas night really stinks for your team.
I mean, I think the four of us,
they have families too, you know.
The four of us would say that the Raiders deserve better.
And they start 3 of 4 on the road.
To spin positively, they are strong enough to overcome this schedule, Greg.
Very much so.
Can we like pile these up? Let's do that.
So use one for the next.
Yeah, so if we ever do have shows where we don't mention the Raiders,
the cachet,
and there's some checks and balances and somebody audits us on this, we say, well, we said 7 positive things about them on our show last Monday.
Someone open a website chronicling all this, please.
Let's formally document, Sid, that we did say a second positive thing. Anyway.
This relationship's starting to feel very costly.
So you say the Raiders, you're the Mexico City trip, losing a home game, playing on Christmas night.
3 of 4 to start on the road, and then you close with 2 road games. I mean, I think the entire AFC West essentially would be on my list of toughest schedules because they have to play each other and they got to play the NFC East, and that's challenging.
They have a Thursday night game, October 19th, and then they have to travel across the country and play against the Bills, I guess, 10 days later, but that's not great either. What else? What else do we want to look at?
I have a cool game to play.
All right. Ooh, I like games.
Can everyone see Week 17? Week 17 has that TBD open slot for the late night NBC game at 8:30.
Let's get flexed out.
Let's look at these games in Week 17 and say, which one do you predict gets moved in there? Wes, you love this game.
Good game. That's a great game, Mark.
Came up with it on the fly.
Jets at Pats.
So it would be one that has to involve
the AFC East.
Well, I think it would have to involve two, or it would be one team has – it's a winner
in type
situation.
Clinch. So right. I'm going to go – they left that one extra spot. You noticed how the Raiders were in primetime 5 times? They can move a 6th. How about that Week 17 Raiders-Chargers? One or both of those teams I feel like will be playing to win that division. I expect that division to be close, entertaining all year. Raiders – come home from their Christmas night game in Philly. They're back on TV deciding the division, Chargers Raiders.
That's a good one.
NBC loves the loser goes home match.
Right.
That's what
they're hoping.
Ideally is what they want, where it basically amounts to a one game playoff or a play in to get into the playoffs.
I don't mind.
What's yours, Mark?
Dallas Cowboys at Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm, yeah.
Checks all the boxes.
Checks out.
I'll go Carolina Atlanta for the NFC South title.
I like that. What was yours, Greg?
I went Chiefs Raiders. I mean Chargers Raiders. Sorry.
Because I'm on this hill about the Cowboys faltering and the rest of the NFC East will be tight. I'll say Redskins at Giants get flexed into Week 7.
See that?
There's also a Cardinals Seahawks game.
The Cowboys not even involved. Shots fired.
That's just the way I feel.
Well, sometimes it could be for a wild card too, depending on how the divisions fall. Maybe they've run away with the division.
I don't think so, but we'll see. I just got a bad feeling about America's team. I don't know why I'm whispering. Anything else that we want to talk about here? I am curious about, let's see, the poor Falcons, who are probably still shell-shocked. How did the NFL treat them okay with their schedule? Looks all right. They got a Week 5 bye. Open at Chicago, yeah. Then home to Green Bay, at Detroit, home to Bills. That's okay getting into your bye. 3 road games against Pats, Jets, and Panthers in the middle of the season. Not a terrible schedule, it looks like.
Don't love a Week 4 bye.
Well,
yeah,
I don't like that either. One of the
Week 5
stories we're on the hook to write. The one that I did was the hardest schedules, and Football Outsiders has the Dallas Cowboys, and this really helps prove your point, Dan, as the hardest schedule in the league, and has the rest of the NFC East all among the 7 hardest schedules in the league. partly because they have to play each other. We mentioned that they have to play the NFC West out of division. And they have to go on the West Coast a couple of times. They have to play the NFC West, which, you know, mixed, but it has Seattle, Arizona. You never really know who is going
to
be.
With all due respect to Football Outsiders, it's entirely useless.
The schedule.
In April, yes. It's entirely useless to say who's going to have the easiest and toughest schedule.
They did show there was something crazy that
let's
four,
talk in
four
November.
Straight years the easiest schedule had made the conference championship, which is great, which seems almost like a coincidence, or three out of 4 years. I look more at just like when you have to go on the road, and the Eagles were another team that stuck out to me, that they start with two road games. You always want to start well. They start in Washington and Kansas City, and then they have that three-game road swing that I mentioned, where they're on the road three straight weeks, two straight on the West Coast in December. Like, are they just going to stay out here in Los Angeles? Like, that's a tough way to end the season.
Any other before we move on? Greg, you seem to have studied this pretty well. Good job by you. Any oddities? Anything strange about the schedule that jumped out to you?
Did we go over the Monday night schedule?
We did not hit Monday night.
I think the Browns get banged by going to London. Jacksonville, Miami, Rams. They all have London home games. You made the point before the podcast was. I mean, the problem with the Browns schedule is they don't get to play the Browns. So every division game.
Well, our
hard.
Initial version of this, when they initially sent it out, the Browns did play the Browns. They had to make a correction to the schedule. The Browns actually were playing the Browns.
And finally a winnable game.
It sums up what their major opponent is. It is themselves. It is not the time they play or the amount of road or home games. It is they've got to get over themselves.
Do you think there was some type of the schedule maker sending out some type of existential type message?
That's
to
how
the
I
city
took
of Cleveland,
it. I mean, listen, you, until you, whether you're, pl- you got if you're going to play 16 games at 1 p.m., you better learn to thump 8 road teams and 7 home games and go overseas to London and destroy that team and scatter them too. Otherwise, you don't deserve to be on primetime. I hope I live long enough to see them worthy of a primetime game.
Right.
They have never played on Sunday Night Football that I can remember in my life.
And then, I mean, they're going to have an untested quarterback, whoever it is, and you have to start the schedule in Pittsburgh and going against Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
I mean,
back-to-back weeks. You try to get a win there.
Untested. You know, Brock Osweiler did lead his team to the playoffs last year.
Let's not count down with the
untested thing. Guy's battle tested and he's got a ring. Anybody forget about the old SB ring?
I think some people forgot about it. Yeah, not a lot of like tight connection to him in the SB ring.
Who calls it an SB ring? Nobody. It was the first time it's ever happened. The rest of the Monday night schedule, Wes, after the first two games we talked about: Detroit at Giants, Dallas at Arizona, Washington at KC. Vikings at Chicago. Who got banged on the earliest buys, by the way? Nobody likes to get the early buy. It's not good. The earliest round of buys comes in week 5. Atlanta, Denver, New Orleans, and Washington. Picking it up week 6 Monday night, Indy at Tennessee. You guys will like that game.
Oh, yeah.
Washington at Philly week 7. Denver at KC. The day before Halloween, I call it Gate Night where I'm from. What'd you guys call it? Devil's Night?
Damage Night?
Gate Night?
Yeah, we called it Gate Night.
What are you?
It's a Northeast thing. I don't know.
I grew up in the Northeast. I've never heard of it.
I think we talked about this one.
What are you
we
doing?
Did.
It's like a New York thing, I think.
Like rattling gates and like playing tricks?
Maybe it's like goes back to the old times where people had gates that you would basically throw toilet paper and I don't know people overseas that listen to this.
I never heard of that.
They didn't do it in New England. There was no night before Halloween hijinks. Like the bad kids went out of town.
Yeah, there is the night before thing, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we called it Damage Night.
Damage Night.
Yeah.
I remember Devil's Night or something like that, although I don't remember participating in it.
Devil's Night feels strong.
It feels a little bit much.
Gate Night
a little bit much.
Is a little out there, too.
I mean, Sunday Night Football is a better schedule, as always, by the way.
Wait, calm down. We're talking about Gate Night here now, Greg.
Gate Night.
Week 9, Monday Night Football, Lions at Packers. That's good. Week 10, Dolphins at Panthers. Falcons at Seahawks, week 11. Texans at Baltimore, week 12.
That Falcons-Seahawks game was really good last year.
Pittsburgh at Cincinnati in week 13. New England at Miami, week 14. Atlanta at Tampa, week 15.
That has potential to be a great game.
Now you're getting into it.
He's into it. Monday night is that. That's Christmas night in week 16, and then there is no Monday night game in week 17. So, a lot to be excited about. Any final thoughts before we move on?
Not many.
I thought we did a pretty good job at this.
Pretty comprehensive.
Wes, your final thoughts.
You got through it, man.
You're through it. Now you don't have to worry about this for another 364 days.
My final thoughts are I can't wait until these games actually happen in October, November, and December. Mm.
Fair enough.
Then we'll have some analysis.
That's true. Very true. And you get to now go through this entire day of people trying to put analysis on this, basically the first takers of the world declaring that the Cowboys season is over. before it starts, that is all coming to other people, but we're not gonna get in that
no.
mix.
No, I don't really think the order effect like kills you too much one way or the other. It's basically just how the formula hits you this year, which divisions you play in. And we knew all that back in January.
Or 2 years ago, you're the Cowboys. You think your schedule looks great. Tony Romo goes down early, and the whole thing's over.
So injuries, injuries always make the schedule analysis useless.
That's why you have to – every year, there's three or four teams that are going to be good that people didn't predict in April, and there's three or four teams that are going to be bad that everybody thought was going to be okay to great.
And so then New England wins the Super Bowl. So and it's just a bit of a lifeless drama leading up to an obvious conclusion.
All right. Before we go, this has been a big week for the Around the NFL podcast. Of course, Wednesday's episode where David and Derek Carr joined us and we brokered a peace, and that was tremendous. And I guess since we're on a roll in
that department.
You
know what's also tremendous? The Oakland Raiders. Great organization.
Wow.
Stack them. So – we work things out with Derek. If we could do that, and he's a superstar NFL quarterback, we could check in with another. Derek's a future Las Vegas native or resident. Might as well check in the desert. And this is the man on the line now is Chris Wessling's desert consigliere, a controversial figure, no doubt, back after a long extended hiatus from the Around the NFL podcast, a hiatus that, frankly, none of us were sure would ever end, but we're feeling good right now. So back on the Around the NFL podcast, Spice Rack.
Thanks for having me back, gentlemen. Dan, I want to know why exactly I'm a controversial figure. And Greg, I would like you to explain the little giggle there, please.
Giggle about what?
Spice Rack, how do you feel that Greg has replaced you as the number one Melvin Gordon fan in the country?
I'm relieved.
Well, let's
relieved.
One thing.
Anybody with any modicum of credibility, I'll take it.
All right.
Spice Rack's coming in hot. He's taking shots before he's even on the air.
All right. So
I wasn't taking shots.
Oh, here we go.
I think Mark Sessler is unbelievably interesting. I've known Chris Wessling a long time. Very interesting guy. Mark Sessler's
on another level.
Far more interesting, which is,
well,
I thought, impossible.
I appreciate that. On another level, I feel like you're trying to use me as sort of leverage or a pawn to create dissension in the room.
That's what's happening, let's be honest. And this, there's a reason why, in terms of background, if you...
Mark, incorrect. That's incorrect, Dan. I'm sorry to interrupt. Mark, that's incorrect. In fact, I fear you. I fear you.
Well, that makes four of us.
Spicy, before we get into you playing a character, can we get some information out of you?
Wait, hang on. Let me tee this up,
yes,
guys. Everybody, and Spicy, please, don't interrupt me, all right? Here we
yes,
go.
Sir.
The Spice Rack is a guy that has a way. He has the shining with watching college prospects. That's what we've been told. That's what we were sold on. He came in hot with Melvin Gordon being the next big thing. Didn't quite work out in year one for Gordon. He had a nice bounce back year last year. And we promised Spice Rack he could come back on the show if Gordon ran for 1,000 yards. He didn't quite get there. 997 before going down with the season-ending injury. How angry were you, by the way, Spice Rack, when that happened?
It was a roller coaster, fellas. I couldn't believe it was hilarious.
It's amazing.
You know, but it was first awful because Gordon is a running back I do love watching and root for now for even different reasons than before. So awful, obviously, that he went down, but it was a roller coaster. It was hilarious. And then I took a shot at Mr. F. Bad idea.
That didn't go well.
Yeah, would you like to make a formal apology to Mr. F now that you're on the Around the NFL podcast? I'm sure he's listening.
Mr. F being the guy that he is, the stand-up gentleman, he reached out to me privately, and we hashed it out.
Oh, sounds like good. Mr. F.
Long Hollywood man across the pond.
And in your defense, Melvin Gordon, at the moment of that injury, he was literally number three in the NFL in yards from scrimmage. Only David Johnson and Ezekiel Elliott were ahead of Melvin Gordon at the moment. So you ultimately were vindicated. He was a very good top 10 productive running back last season.
And that's part of the problem here is because Melvin Gordon, essentially Spice Rack was vindicated on that. Now, that was his prediction of who was going to be big 2 years ago. Last year when we had him on the show, we could be right now potentially talking about who Spice Rack was big on last year, but it never happened. And just by way of going down memory lane, we got more less breakdown of people that Spice Rack wanted and more this. You know what? You're filibustering because you lost your confidence because of what happened with Melvin Gordon. Isn't that what it is? Yes or no?
I see what you're doing, Hansis, you manipulator. You're baiting me into picking, you know, Miles Jack or something like that.
No,
Spice Rack, really give good. Us some we're, football
yeah,
players.
We're baiting you into content.
And
because your show is full of content.
I mean, that's the one thing I will say. Spice Rack maybe was, right church, wrong pew there. We have plenty of content. Not all of it's good. But Spice Rack, now your feelings a year later, we want to move past that, and we would love to hear from you, Spice Rack, about who you're high on with the draft now 1 week away. A lot of pressure.
Oh, right now you're saying.
This is it. Currently.
This is it. This is the moment that you've been waiting for, to have the platform. Hundreds of thousands of listeners all over the world right now want to hear what Bradley Allen Spicer at SpiceRack MD on Twitter, they want to know what you are excited about in this draft. Who are your top draft prospects?
Well, I do have a lot to say about Christian McCaffrey. I feel like he's blown up quite a bit, or I should say even more, the last 2 or 3 weeks. But I do want to look at the safety position. So the previous generation featured two of the most unique safeties in Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed. They were – somehow it was a rivalry. They were in the same division. But they – as great as they were, they each had different styles. And when I look at Malik Hooker of Ohio State, Jamal Adams, LSU, but Hooker sort of Ed Reed, I'll tell you right now, is my favorite defensive football player ever, period. Mm-hmm. Game changer, athletic, could return punts in a pinch. Malik Hooker kind of reminds me of him.
High praise.
You know, potentially. You can't really put labels on something like that. But Jamal Adams is definitely more the stalker at the line of scrimmage, the moving chess piece that Polamalu was. Rely on instincts and just sort of be a JYD within the first 5 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Junkyard
Dog?
Deep
might not be his thing, but...
JYD. Oh, yeah. What does that stand for?
Junkyard Dog, baby.
I'll have WWF references all day.
There you
if
go.
You like.
And if
thump, thump.
For people that maybe what makes a safety or somebody playing up near the line a junkyard dog, what does that mean?
No, I'm just the overall tenacity.
Okay,
just sort of – I think really it's just a fun expression.
Another one bites of dust.
Amen, brother. But Troy Polamalu is sort of – or I should say Jamal Adams, when you watch him play, you can sort of see him creeping up toward the line of scrimmage near the snap, and then he'll go from one hash to the other, take a guy down at the line of scrimmage, and those instincts are rare.
So both those players you believe to be kind of game-changing talents potentially. Not Ed Reed, because there's only one Ed Reed, but in terms of a guy that excites you at the safety position. You're pumped up about both of them.
I mean, they could both go very early.
Top six?
It looks like, and I Jamal Adams, I feel like could maybe slip just because coverage is everything, as it should be.
But I feel like there's still a place for a guy who can, you know, just sort of, you know, lock down that middle of the field sort of, and also, you know, run to the side, each sideline and take down ball carriers.
Like Landon Collins?
Yeah, something like that. And he's definitely a hitter. I mean, he's definitely a hitter. He wants to take someone's head off.
And, back to back, Lance Zierlein, who we had in here yesterday in his latest mock draft, he has Jamal Adams going to the Jets at 6, and then followed immediately by the Chargers taking Malik Hooker at 7. So these are highly touted safeties. And, okay, that was good.
That was solid.
I thought that Spicy, in a big spot there, delivered sound analysis on two of the top defenders in this class.
Big
what else he got?
Back.
I mean, how about on the other side of the ball?
Hey, Spicy, if you have an area of, like, expertise, it's got to be Ohio State, right?
Yes.
So who are you big on with Ohio State?
Well, I just gave you Malik Hooker.
Okay.
Seeing him chase down balls from going from the middle of the field, 50 yards down the sideline it's impressive. I mean, again, he's not going to be Ed Reed, but that's the guy he reminds me of. I see like ultimate ceiling, something like that.
What about Marshawn Lattimore?
Well, so here's the deal. I mean, yeah, he's great. Urban Meyer's recruited like a maniac for the last 3 or 4 years. Settle down, puppy.
Is that someone in the trunk?
Did you just
be honest?
That is my 4-pound chihuahua who I let lick me all over.
Isolate that.
Yeah, save that for a sound drop. Did you step on him or something?
She'll bark at anything. She'll bark at her own shadow, brother.
All right.
Anyway, back to Lattimore.
I like Gary. Okay, as far as Garyon Conley is the corner from Ohio State that stood out to me most.
Interesting.
He just looked the part.
Wow.
He didn't start a bunch of games, but he reminded me when he first got in there of, you know, Bradley Roby or Eli Apple, and I felt like he was a little ahead of both, and I like both of those guys, and I think, you know, they've proven to be good players. Apple only 1 year, but Garyon Conley, late first maybe, I like a lot from Ohio State.
And you brought up Christian McCaffrey, running back out of Stanford. Is he potentially your new Melvin Gordon? Do you believe highly in Christian McCaffrey coming into the league and making an immediate impact the way you believed Melvin Gordon would?
He's definitely more complete than Melvin Gordon. The weird thing about Gordon was that I thought for sure he would lead the league in 50 plus yard runs. And I don't think he has one in his, you know, short career, which
right.
is shocking.
A lot of big plays last year. He had a couple. At least 40.
He hit a lot.
Yeah, a lot of big plays
but
over
20, 40
yards.
He didn't spring that next level.
Yep.
Tough to project McCaffrey doing that, but, you know, he ripped off a lot of wrong runs. I mean, his instincts are fantastic. Unbelievable punt returner. No doubt about it, could be a great slot receiver if had he chosen that route.
They're going to put him in the slot quite a bit in the NFL.
All right.
You'd be crazy not to. You'd be crazy not to. He is bust proof. His frame is you know, he's a little small, but he is compact. He's not going to get broken in half.
Bust proof.
Reggie Bush, I felt like, had the frame to get broken in half.
So do you feel like he's got a much higher ceiling than Reggie Bush as an NFL player?
Hindsight's easy because I remember what I thought of Bush coming out. But I think McCaffrey is better on the 3rd-and-1 run. Not that he'll be doing it much, but, you know, you see guys like Gio Bernard, fantastic in short yardage. Stealing those easy 1-2 yards, just putting your head down with strong legs. McCaffrey has that. Bush didn't.
I'm just soaking this in. It's great knowledge.
Spicy, we know you're a big Sam Darnold fan.
That's an understatement.
Wow. And Dan is invested in Scam for Sam this year.
Scam for Sam, baby.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
Tell me why, Spicy.
Let's hear.
USC's coach was getting fired. Clay Helton, his first year, they started another guy over Darnold. The mighty Trojans were lifeless. They had nothing through about 4 games. Within one possession of Sam Darnold's first start, everything changed. They were the second best team in the country from that point on. They lost their opener to Utah, ran the table after that. You some guys, they give off a certain you sometimes it's so easy to see and much harder to describe.
A je ne sais quoi, sure. If you will.
Got it.
So he's got the it factor.
1,000,000%.
And daddy's got goosebumps.
I mean, well, I like how the Jets are going to scam for him, like they need to play lesser than their ability. Cleveland could just do what it does and get Sam. No,
Cleveland's going up.
No, I ain't going up yet.
I'm coming to that corner,
what are they going
Mark,
up with? No.
But I'm not staying there long once I get Sammy in
no,
the building.
Sir.
Just comparing him, comparing Darnold to other quarterback prospects of the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, like where would you rank?
He's more
where would
Andrew
you rank
Luck.
Him? Do you think he's going to be a better prospect or similar to how Andrew Luck was looked at coming out?
He's more polished than Luck.
More polished?
More is a thrower, more refined, more refined. Mm. I don't know if he's as sharp as Luck. Luck's kind of a nerd, you know, in a great way, in a great way.
Gotcha.
But Darnold's more smooth. I mean, way more smooth. I mean, he's the coolest guy in the room everywhere he's been. I think he's a little more charismatic than Luck that way. Luck wins off just by being such a hard worker and sort of like in a goofy way charismatic, but not, you know, not sort of like owning the room presence wise. Sure. Darnold's a more natural passer, I believe. Luck's a much better athlete running, but Darnold's a hell of an athlete, too. He was a great high school basketball player, could have gone Pac-12.
Wow. Well, I'm very excited. Hopefully things work out with a nice 2-14 season. All right, before you go, Spicy, and again, the bust proof, Christian McCaffrey, Jamal Adams, and Malik Hooker.
Kansas. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Yeah. It's McCaffrey. No T in his last name. Come on.
Okay, sorry. McCaffrey.
Ed McCaffrey's his dad.
Son of Ed McCaffrey, we know.
I didn't until right now. That's good.
Oh, Ed McCaffrey was a
good bloodline.
Player,
yeah.
Great player.
Christian McCaffrey, Jamal Adams, Malik Hooker. Who's the corner you liked?
Gary and Conley.
There you go. And Gary and Conley.
Do we need like one kind of fantasy receiver or running back that's maybe not a top 10, 15 pick? You just give us a name, and this is a guy you're pounding the table that we're tracking so that we know if the spice rack is on top of things.
It has to be a receiver.
Or a running back. Someone fantasy, you know, that you can follow. Or a tight end, I guess. But
well, you might not want to hear it, but it's Joe Mixon.
Mm.
Oklahoma's
okay.
All-time.
No, that works.
Leading rusher, Samaje Perine. NCAA's single-game all-time rusher, or single-game rusher, Samaje Perine. When Joe Mixon left the field for Perine to get on it, from a gambler's perspective, you're betting against it, you were relieved. Mixon's a stud. Stud.
All right.
You never know. It's not banging the table for him. I wouldn't if I were in the room, but he is a monster.
Well done, Spice Rack.
Good job.
And in 30 seconds or less, by way of your exit from today's show, can you explain or give your opinion on whether the Raiders in Las Vegas will work?
It will work. I can't believe it ever made it here. Because not because of the gambling element, because of the temptation element. It's nonstop. It's constant. There are slicksters everywhere. Mm. And I don't worry about opposing teams as much because they'll be watched closely. The home team. I'm happy it's here. This is the city I live. I don't think it's the greatest idea in the world.
Interesting.
How are you dealing with the temptations?
Oh, I'm doing great, Greg. Doing great. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks.
All right, Spicy.
Greg, no. Greg, I need to hear you say Titan or Manhattan.
Something with a T in it.
What's going on? Manhattan?
No, say it. Manhattan.
Drop the T's. Drop the T's.
All right, Spicy. Thank you very much.
Good stuff, buddy.
All right, Spicy.
You did great, bud. That's it. He's gone.
He gone.
It was good. That was a nice.
I thought he did a great job. I mean, you talk about where we had set the bar and what he delivered today.
He clearly did his homework. He gets so jacked up. He gets so excited.
Well, he cares about it. I mean, by the way, I think he's with the safeties. You hear more and more about the safeties. We haven't talked about him at all.
No.
At all. He brought good stuff there.
That's good.
We haven't talked about a lot of things. Draft
some bold statements, too. I like it. He came strong.
You said
Christian McCaffrey, Sam Darnold.
Yep. Bust proof. Christian McCaffrey. That's the one I'm going to hold him to.
All right. Greg, you're feeling it. You're feeling what we're feeling, or you're not feeling
No, I'm with you. I mean, okay. he he showed a certain level of guts and sticking to himself in the way that he was correcting Dan's pronunciation. I mean, he's not a wallflower.
No, I thought he did well, and he was prepared, which is good to see, and didn't have a total psychotic break this time. So I thought it was a nice appearance.
I have a question for you, Dan. Yeah. When you had your experience with Spice Rack in Vegas,
yes.
You guys shared a day together. Was he the same personality wise in person as he is on our show?
He's maybe a little bit more manic on the phone, but
he's a lot more low key in person.
I think maybe it's more because I was on his turf, whereas when he's on the phone and he's trying to make an impact, I think maybe he got a little overexcited. But this time, I think he did a nice job reining it in.
Well, you also something happened between the two of you in Vegas that you refused to reveal to us. Maybe you don't even know at this point what it was, but clearly
it was
some nothing. Sort of
we had
issue.
Nothing but a great time together. That is the truth. That is the true story, and I'm sticking to it.
You know? You stick to that narrative.
Anzus is hiding something. It's rare. It's happening.
We will be back on Tuesday. Oh, by the way, before I do that, I should, in fact, I must hit you guys up. Just had Spicy on. A little draft facts.
Oh yeah.
Time now for draft facts. Driven. I said driven by Hyundai. You don't walk with Hyundai. You don't jog. You drive. And here's some draft facts. You want some draft facts? You ready?
Please.
Here we go. I'm going to take you all the way back in the time machine. The 2005 NFL draft. Did you know that with the 213th pick in the sixth round, the Baltimore Ravens, my God, they took a quarterback who is still active in the league. Don't look at my monitor, Greg.
What year?
2005.
Okay.
Active backup quarterback has some history with your Cleveland Browns, Mark.
Derek Anderson.
Derek Anderson was the 213th pick of the 2005 NFL draft, and that was Draft Facts driven by Hyundai.
Out of Oregon State. Wasn't he the quarterback there right before Matt Moore?
Great career.
He was at Oregon State.
Remember, Phil Savage was in Baltimore and had something to do with drafting Derek Anderson, then came over to Cleveland as their GM and helped organize the week two. I mean, they had him, but they elevated him in week two after what's his name in Cleveland melted down against Pittsburgh in week one, and they
Tim
traded
Couch?
The Raiders. No, one
I,
of their other.
I mean, that's a tough thing about being a quarterback. You know, if you're a sixth-round safety who, like, made a Pro Bowl and got one big contract and you're still playing after 12 years, that is an A++ career. And yet, if you bring up Derek Anderson's name, people, you know, make little jokes.
Well, I stick by this. Had they just kept Derek Anderson
you know what I'm saying?
Until now, they'd be better than they are right now.
Absolutely.
Just keep him the whole time instead of the 88 schmoes they've had since.
Schmoes!
Yeah, would have saved a lot of up and downs, or mostly downs. Anyway, so there you go. Draft facts. Gotta love them. We'll be back, I believe, Monday or Tuesday. We'll be back. We have three shows next week, and know that. That is draft week, so we'll have an early show on Monday or Tuesday. Then, draft night, the end of round one, we will immediately go from the newsroom to the podcast studio and record our recap of the first night of the NFL draft. And then, after the draft finish, round seven, the moment round seven wraps up and Mr. Irrelevant is picked, we'll head to the studio and record a full draft recap on Saturday night. So you're going to get a little different schedule rollout, but you're getting three shows, including two shows that are immediately recorded after the draft, which just isn't happening any other podcast that traffics in the NFL is a joke.
All right.
Going Trump on us here.
In this specific realm. Just in the fact that we just get up there.
We are completists.
That's what we do. Like, oh, well, we'll see you on Monday after the draft. Then we'll do our recap. No, no, no. We're doing immediately after the draft. Don't hit me with a Trump, Greg. Get on the home team. Come on.
That's fair analysis by you, Dan. Not the Trump stuff, but that we will be
team,
there
Greg.
After the draft.
I didn't mean it in a – I guess that you could only take –
because I know you got boys that have competing podcasts and stuff.
That certainly was not in my mind.
But
I just thought
I don't
it was
care
funny.
About that.
You just were like, any other podcasts? They're a joke. I like it.
sad podcasts everywhere. All right. We'll be back next week. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, and new money behind the glass. Thanks for listening, everybody. Till next week.
Sessler.
Yes. How are you?
I like being the most interesting person on that podcast by a mile.
Whoa. You're just trying to use me against the others.
Shots fired.
He's got the energy. He's got the ignition.
Thanks for calling me boring, friend.
Save for the pod.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.